Psalmist makes a connection, and this, by the way, has always been the connection in the biblical record. And so for someone to claim something and yet do something so different would just be unheard of in Jewish culture. And so the idea of obedience is such a huge part of love, of honor, of fearing God, and all these things. We in the modern world, we basically have in some ways taken out the whole idea of obedience. Obedience is almost becomes like a dirty word in our culture and our society. Instead of something that's a joy, if you fear God, then you obey. If you love God, then you obey. It's such a simple reality that I think gets lost many times. So blessed is everyone, not just the rich, not just the Jews, right? Not just the powerful. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. In other words, every human being has an opportunity to, in kind to the Creator, give Him glory and honor, and who walks in His ways. And when you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you'll be happy, and it'll be well with you. Now, notice the contrast. In Genesis, work, now remember, work was given before the fall. It's the fall, or the curse of the fall, made work unfruitful. It made work taxing and laborious and you know, not full of life. And I think we very well can understand this in our society. And so, but work was given before the fall. And so the idea, God's idea of work is God, the work would happen. God would give you work, something to do with your hands, and there would be a great blessing that flows. Unfortunately, the curse kind of tainted the idea of work. But look what he says. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, it's the idea of a farmer that's doing something. This is, for us, any work here. And it says, and you'll be happy and be well with you. So how do we contrast that from the curse of Genesis? It goes back to verse 1. When you fear the Lord, when you walk in His ways, even your labor, which is considered curse because of the fall, is now considered a blessing. It's such a beautiful reminder for us. He says, and you'll be happy and it'll be well with you. This is not really an often used phrase. Usually the Bible says things like you'll be blessed. But now he says you'll be happy. You'll be joyful if you walk in the fear of the Lord. And you walk in the fear of the Lord, even the work of your hands, there's a positive result that comes out of it. Verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children like olive plants around your table. Now, in Jewish custom, in Jewish tradition, it was just assumed that you would marry. For you not to marry would be considered a sin in Jewish custom at this time. And so, but it was actually Christianity that introduced the idea of singleness as a calling from God. And so before this, right, if you were single, they just thought something was really, really wrong with you. Like you were cursed, you know, you were just blatantly sinful, you know, or you were immoral or something like that. But obviously when Christianity came on the scene, now, through the life of Jesus, through the writings of Paul, now singleness is a calling. And in fact, singleness can be looked upon as even more advantageous or beneficial than someone who's married, just so that you can serve the Lord better or more fruitfully or whatever the case may be. It just doesn't mean you just choose singleness, you know, I'm talking about in the Christian context, just because you feel like it and, you know, you don't serve God. That's not the context. Singleness as a calling compared to being married. And Christianity introduced that concept. But here's this beautiful picture of the husband. And notice the two analogies that are used. It's the fruitful vine, but it's also the olive plant. Now, these are the two kind of staple foods that are available to Israel. These plants are are not, it's not like corn, you know, or wheat. It's like absolute necessities. These are, they're not, these plants are not necessary for your survival, but they just make life better. Do you understand? It's not wheat and corn. Wheat and corn, those are necessities, grains. But this is not a necessity, but it brings great blessing. So let me talk about the first one, the fruitful vine. This has many different connotations to it. The vine, we know, is a sign of joy in the Old Testament. And so your spouse should bring you a lot of joy. The vine also, if you look at Song of Songs, is also has a sexual component to it, that the husband would be satisfied, you know, through the cluster or through the fruit of the vine. And so there's definitely a sexual relationship that a husband and wife should have that brings a lot of blessing and joy to the couple. But it's also the fruitfulness, the vine bearing children in this way. And so there's a multi-gathered meanings regarding this, but this is what's part of a blessed life, the happiness. Again, not that it's necessary for your survival, but just makes life so much better in this way. And if you have a good spouse, you know, a loving spouse, a fruitful spouse, a very sexually healthy relationship as a spouse, man, there's great blessing that comes through that. And then it says, and then your children are like olive plants. Now, olive plants are very, very interesting, right? Because olive plants, you plant these olives and they bear no fruit for many, many years. There's a lot of labor. There's a lot of cost. There's a lot of caring for this olive plant, but it won't bear fruit. In many cases here in the first century, they won't bear fruit until they're about 40 years old. And so 40 years you're taking care of this, but if you take care of it well, guess what? It brings out oil for centuries. Can you see the connection with children? Children are a lot of work. You know, many of us that are parents here, you know that. It takes a lot of work. Babies, you know, toddlers, you know, elementary school, and then, of course, oh my goodness, teenagers, right? Wow. This, I mean, talk about humbling yourself, you know. That's why we need to pray for Caleb a lot, right? You know, but teenagers, man, and you go through this, and they require a lot of work, and there won't be a lot of fruit. I mean, they'll give you joy in their seasons, but in terms of, like, fruitfulness in this way, we have to wait. And so that's why children are an investment. We come into it with our kids and we care for them, you know, we pay for them, we, you know, all these different things. And but what we're looking at is, as Christ followers, we're looking at the fruit that will come for centuries, right? Isn't that the idea of our children? We just want them to be just so prosperous, and they'll be such, bring great blessing to the kingdom of God, great blessing to the kingdom of the world, you know, for centuries, so for generation after generation after generation. And so, and this is the blessed man, right? The one that fears the Lord. You fear the Lord, look, even your labor is blessed. You'll become happy and fulfilled. Your spouse, right? It'll be a fruitful vine, and your children like olive plants around your table. Again, not necessary for survival, but man, incredible blessing. It just makes life so much more meaningful. It makes life more fun, right? It makes life just a little more adventurous in this way. And so your spouse, your children, I hope that you are blessed. You know, I know some of you guys are young and, you know, you're not thinking about marriage and those things, but man, just take it from the Word of God that you'll be blessed, that your wife or your husband, your spouse will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children like olive plants. And so don't get discouraged if your children are not bearing much fruit, because it's what you sow into it, how you care for this olive plant, and it will bring a harvest oil will flow from the olives for centuries. This is what happens. And behold, verse 4, behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Goes back, right? We're bookending this idea. And so, man, we fear God. We walk in his ways. Better say you walk in the fear of the Lord. Man, there is so much great blessing in store for you. But then we go to verse 5. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Now, it's not just good. If we only talk about individual blessing, okay, that's fine. And then we talk about our family, right? It could still be kind of very singular focused, right? A bit selfish maybe. But really, what really makes life so blessed is also the community. And so you can't just think of myself and my family, right? I mean, I know people who think that they're very generous because they're really generous to their family. No. That being generous to your family, that's what you should be doing. True generosity is being generous to the community. It's people that you know, really you don't benefit from so immediately in this way. And so there says something, right? Bless you, the Lord bless you from Zion. In fact, every blessing has come from Zion, right? I mean, you know, the revelation of God the Father, right, has come from Zion. Jesus Christ came from Zion. You know, his teachings, all these things all came from Zion. He died in Zion, right, or in this area. And so we can see that all these things are blessed from Zion in this way. You know, but you may see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, but you also have a part in the community, in the city. And it's important that we just don't focus on ourselves. It's important that we just don't focus on our family, our immediate family, but we also care for the church community, but also the community in the city that you live here in Hong Kong. It's important that we also care for those in this city. And it's not enough, right? Just care for yourself is just not enough for your family. But there's also an obligation and a heart to care for the city. And if you do that, look what the promise of the Lord is. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. All right, this beautiful thing. Now he's talking about generational transfer. He's talking about you're going to see... And this is really dealing with the prosperity. You're going to see your kids and your kids' kids. And this idea is really about longevity. It's about that you actually will live to a ripe old age where you'll get to see your kids and your kids' kids. And, I mean, there's such a fruitful blessing that's laid in store. I mean, I hope I'm alive. I know I didn't do myself a favor by getting married, you know, later, but I hope I'm alive to see my kids' kids. Wow, you know what an incredible joy, you know, that would be to see my kids' kids. And then, man, and if my kids get married at 12, then I can see my kids' kids' kids. That's a joke. Sorry, bad joke. But you know what I mean? I mean, it's quite amazing when we see this. And this is God's gift to the man or the woman who fears the Lord and who walks in the fear of the Lord. Your labor, your work, there's happiness and fruitfulness. Your home, there's happiness and fruitfulness. Your community, there's happiness and fruitfulness as a result of that. That's what we're going after. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Beautiful song. I love these Song of Ascents. You can just see the people so happy. You know, they're making their way up from Jerusalem. They're climbing up the mount, from Jericho, I'm saying. They're climbing up to Jerusalem, and they're singing these songs. They're so excited to encounter the living God. It's almost like us, you know, like going out to worship, to our retreat, or coming out to Sunday service. It's like, wow, we get to come, and we sing these songs, and we're ready to engage. And of course, they traveled as families. And so the Songs of Ascents will deal with families. And you can imagine them, they're walking with their kids and their spouse. You know, they're making their way up on this road, And you can see the psalmist is looking at their kids and looking at the joy of marching to Jerusalem. And these songs just come out of him. I pray today that you would experience the happiness, the blessedness of the Lord as you walk in the fear of the Lord. And as child leads us in a song, I want to encourage you to worship the Lord and pray. This morning, let's pray that we would walk in the fear of the Lord. ramifications would flow through our workplace, the things that we do with our hands, our families, our church, our city. And it all starts with walking in the fear of the Lord. And let's pray this morning.